Thanks for joining us for part two of our chat about the Cordis family of roses. Alexander Cordis, a fifth generation rose grower, along with Thomas Prohl, who's the chief hybridizer at Cordis, are back tonight, along with Chris Pellet. Now, Chris is with New Flora. That's the company that brings Cordis varieties to the United States.
I am so excited to hear what's coming up from Cordis, because every Cordis rose I have tried here in my Zone 5 garden is beautiful, hardy, and can make it through the tough winters.
Stay with us. The Rose Chat Podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
You're there today with Chris Pellet from New Flora. So can you tell our listeners about the relationship between New Flora and Cordis?
Well, my parents know Gary and Chris now since 1988, I think. And they became friends and still are. And Gary and Chris and New Flora, they are getting our varieties for trail now since 2004. So there's a long friendship and bond of both families. And, you know, we got that old tradition of breeding roses, and they are now in the rose business also for years. Well, all the breeding is done back in Germany, but we send over promising varieties every year. And Thomas is flying over to Oregon also every year, so does the evaluation together with Gary and Chris over here. Like Thomas said, our roses are tested all over the country. So we got roses that work in the heat and also roses that do very well in a colder climate.
Well, we've been talking all about the breeding program and getting roses to this country. Let's talk about the roses. You mentioned that some of our very favorite roses come from Cordis. Roses that, if you've been growing roses for a while or been to rose shows, you've heard of them. Roses like Crimson Glory and Lavagut and Iceberg. Those are still roses that you see on rose show tables and award tables. In fact, my daughter lives in Southern California, and Iceberg is everywhere, and it's absolutely outstanding. So you started strong with some of the most beautiful roses, and then you moved into some testing at the Biltmore Rose Trials, and you've had great success there. So let's talk about the Biltmore Rose Trials and the roses that have emerged as winners there.
I think one of the exciting roses, at least for me, is this year's winner, Savannah. And Savannah is what I consider a southern rose. So I think its genetics tell me it will do well pretty much all over the United States. But it won the most fragrant rose, the best hybrid tea, and then kind of the overall highest score for the show this year. It's got a great fragrance. A very, very strong old rose scent combined with a really pretty salmon pink color, dark mahogany stems, really dark foliage, and just great vigor. I guess I'd add to that it's part of our newly released Sunbelt collection. And we came about having the Sunbelt collection because of several trips I made, actually a long time ago. I would hold Mark Chambly and probably Gay Hammond in Texas responsible because he took me to some gardens in Texas where people so much wanted to grow beautiful roses. But it was in the summer. It was very hot. And I looked at these roses that these people so wanted to grow, but the flowers were quite small. They were hybrid teas, but not many petals. They were really struggling to be good plants in that climate. And I thought, boy, I wonder if any of the Cordis could work in the South. And with that began quite a bit of testing. We test in Florida, in Georgia, in Louisiana, several places in Texas. And what we found was there's actually a lot of varieties that Cordis breeds, even though they breed them in the cold northern Germany, they do exceptionally well in North America, in the South. So with that idea and the testing that was done, and they were also tested in Earthkind trials, we came up with a group that we feel will do very well in the southern part of the United States. And Savannah is one. Plum Perfect, which is this great, really intense plum purple color, is another. South Africa, a beautiful bronze yellow, are part of that. And then Desmond Tutu is a Floribunda, but a brilliant red. And that began our collection. And we plan to add to it as we have the research done that indicates to us that these roses will work well for people in hot climates.
Well, I for one am excited about that Desmond Tutu rose and that it being a red Floribunda. You know, it's hard to get a good red Floribunda to grow here in the Deep South. So I'm especially excited to see that one come to market.
I agree. It's actually one of my my favorites. It's just florifus, and that red is so intense on it. And for us, the disease resistance has been quite good on it. It doesn't slow down in the South at all. I'd also add that we say the South, but actually in the desert climates, these roses work quite well too. So if you talk about very Southern California, over into Arizona, New Mexico, those areas that are kind of almost desert areas, they work quite well in those climates too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, when we, Teresa and I had the privilege of being judges at Biltmore the last couple of years, and we, of course, we didn't know the name of the rose when we were judging it, but what we know now to be Savannah was a real standout in the gardens at Biltmore. The bloom, the fragrance, the presentation in the garden. You know, I think a lot of times people miss that, is how well does it present in your garden? And it was just spectacular. I wanted to dig those up and bring them home with me, but Paul Zimmerman wouldn't let me.
We'll make sure, we'll find a way that you get some Savannah. Savannah's out on the market now this for this next year at quite a few places. So I think your audience will find that it is available, and we're getting it into some bigger commercial growers. So we're hoping that you'll see it in garden centers also. Yeah, the other one of the roses that did quite well at the Biltmore the year before was Bajazzo, which is a climber. And I believe, if I'm right in German, Bajazzo means like court jester. Am I correct on that?
Bajazzo is actually the name for the clown in the Italian carnival, in the Venice carnival. Yeah, that's what the name for. Yeah.
But it's a bright carmine pink with a yellow center. It doesn't have a lot of petals, but you know it's 4 to 5 inches across, and when that rose is in bloom, you know it just covers itself with blooms. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, bright, make you happy kind of rose. I quite like it. And it's part of a new collection we have also, which is the Arbor Rose collection. And these are climbing roses we've chosen that fit well on regular suburban fences. So 5 to 6 foot fences. They're not going to grow up 12 feet tall. If that's what you want, then these are the wrong roses. But if you're trying to put it in kind of typical situations in the United States on a back fence, on the wall of your house, they work really well. So Bajazzo's there, a new one that is out on the market that I think people are really going to love is called Honeymoon, which is a blush cream with a blush center with scent rose that I think people are going to love. Also in that group is Florentina. If you like Desmond Tutu, Florentina is about the same shade of red in the climber. Just gorgeous, dark, glossy foliage, really pretty rose. And those probably in that collection, another one is Orange Flare, which is an orange-red with, again, mahogany stems, dark leaves, red-orange flowers, really, really pretty. And a new one that's probably not that available but will be is Quicksilver, which is a lavender climber with a huge floribunda lavender non-fading flower. And together, they're all pretty spectacular. We think everybody's really going to enjoy that collection.
And that's the Arbor Collection.
Arbor Rose, actually.
The Arbor Rose, okay.
Yes. And again, that's all of those are available this year, you know, for this coming spring, mostly smaller mail orders. Production has begun at larger growers, so we'll see it again moving through chain stores and also independent garden centers. Probably honestly, 2017 is when you'll see them in good availability in North America.
Wow. We'll be watching for those. You know, this year in some of the big box home improvement stores, I've seen a lot of Parfuma collection.
Yes, actually, we have started this collection in Europe and Germany in 2012. And now the first varieties are available, have been available in the U.S. as well. The breeding of those varieties goes back to, let's say, the early 2000 years when we had, when we have been successful to create a range of really very disease-resistant material. We focused our breeding also back on the fragrance in the roses. Mm-hmm. Very often it's a decision of people to buy a rose goes back to the fragrance. But our salespeople at home say, please give me fragrant roses, Mr. Breeder, but give me healthy fragrant roses. Otherwise, it's only troublemakers. And that's what we were successful now. We have been able to combine a high level of disease resistance with an intense fragrance. That was the idea of the Parfuma collection that at the moment has five varieties in, but we will slowly build up that collection with more interesting varieties. The ones we have in at the moment is one, probably the most successful rose in our sales in Germany, and I'm pretty sure it will soon be here, that is Dark Desire. It's not only an intense fragrance, but it's also a very beautiful flower. It's kind of comes with violet flower buds that open to a kind of purple red when the flowers are aging, and it's a very nice and balanced fragrance. You get it kind of addicted to if you once put your nose in that rose. Another one is First Crush, a kind of cream pastel pink with a very nice typical classic rose fragrance, and a medium pink nostalgic flowered variety with a very nice mix of aniseed and apple is Summer Romance. So these were the three varieties that have already been in commerce this year, have been available. And there's two more to come in that group. The one is it's also kind of a light, creamy, pink, very roundish, pom-pom shape, nostalgic flower that is Earth Angel. And a grandiflora rose named Madame Anisette that has a very strong, rich aniseed fragrance and has been very popular and successful, for example, in France, winning a couple of fragrant awards last year. Mm-hmm. And on top, to really spice this fragrant rose collection of it, we are cooperating with a professional perfumer since a couple of years now. Her name is Claudia Walder, and she has been has studied pharmacy, but has been trained also in Grasse, in the heart of the French perfume industry, and she is describing, she's creating perfume portraits of our roses like only a professional can do this. Okay. So this is people who have not only the talent, they are very well trained, and they have the wording to describe fragrances.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I read her description of Dark Desire, and it's really a feast for the ears when you read some of her remarks. This classic notes of rose enhanced with a touch of lemon and a base note of rose geranium. And she notes here that peak fragrance is at in the high noon and then in the evenings. And, you know, I sort of noticed that in my own garden at times, that roses are more fragrant at different times of the day.
Yeah, definitely. It depends a little on the time of the day. It can also depend on type of soil. But it's typically that many roses smell the strongest maybe a late morning, and then probably during the midday heat, the level of fragrance slows down a little, but you will have a peak, another peak of fragrance very often in the afternoon then. But it also depends a lot on the level of air humidity. If you have a very dry day, the fragrance might not be that strong. If you have a little rainy, then you have the air, the fragrance is just has it easier to flow, and your nose picks it up a little better then.
You know, Chris, for me, reading her descriptions and then buying, you know, and then having the chance to smell the roses has been such an education. Because people used to ask me, well, what does it smell like? And my response would be, well, it smells good. and I wouldn't have the words. And you know, when you smell them now and you kind of know what she's saying about it, then I can say, yes, I catch that apple. And there's that lemon scent, too. And it's really helped me, kind of like learning how to taste wine, put together the idea of fragrance. And I've really enjoyed it.
Well, we know that the rose world is waiting for more fragrant roses. We do appreciate disease resistance, but we all know the first thing that someone's going to do when you hand them a rose is put it to their nose. So this is a collection that we are all very excited about.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we appreciate, and we feel the same with all our customers in Germany and all over Europe. I just said we started with that assortment only 3 years back in 2012, and already now all the five Parfuma roses are really absolute and top ranking in our sales. That shows us that the customers were just waiting for this type of rose that is highly fragrant but still trouble free, and you can put them in a garden and they don't need much care, and you don't have to spray them with a lot of chemicals like many of the old fragrant roses had a rather poor disease resistance. And a lot of people always thought if you have a fragrant rose, you have to deal with diseases or whatever. And this is simply not true. It's no magic behind it. It's just hard work and lots of effort in the breeding. And we have reached that recently.
One of the things I notice on the tags of your roses is that many of them are ADR winners. So tell us a little bit about these awards that you're receiving with the ADR notification on them.
Some might say it's the toughest rose trials in the world. The roses are tested on 11 different trial stations all over Germany. So you can cover all different kinds of climate over there. And they are tested there for 3 years, every variety. Germany, we got the most ADR winners. We got over 70 now. And just 1 week ago, Thomas and I went to the ADR giving, and nine more Cordis varieties just got ADR. So,
and of those nine, it was pretty exciting. So last year, we saw Dark Desire and Madame Anisette get their ADRs, and we added two of the Parfumas. Also, this year received ADRs, and those are, let's see, Summer Romance and also Earth Angel. So four of the five that we have out in the market now also have ADRs, kind of attesting to that they're fragrant but really are disease resistant.
Wow. And the most important thing I forgot to say, that on every of these 11 trial stations, all the roses haven't been sprayed with fungicides, so you don't get an award if a rose gets diseases like rust or black spot or something like that. So our roses are very healthy. And
wow. Well, let me be among those to congratulate you. It really shows your commitment to quality roses, and I know that rose growers like myself really appreciate that. So congratulations on your success.
Thank you very much.
Well, guys, before we let you go, tell us where we can purchase these roses.
Oh, lots of places. So this last year, and again this year, we've actually, in order to get the largest, how would I say it, the largest representation of Cordis out, we've had a good program at Lowe's. And this next year, there'll actually be quite a few roses, Cordis roses, also at Home Depot, which we're really gratified for because many people want to go down and buy them easily. Marc Chambly, Palatine, or Chambly Roses, rather than just saying Marc's name, Chambly Roses, Palatine, Roses Unlimited, Northland Rosarium, all carry a huge assortment of Cordis, which are mail order, and also Heirloom Roses is carrying quite a few. And I'm sure I'm leaving some people out I don't want to leave out, but each year we're getting a larger representation of Cordis in the market. I'd also say to people that if you want it at your local garden center, tell them you want Cordis roses there because they're out and available, and it's more getting their local garden center to know that they should be carrying Cordis roses. Another great company, Can-Am Roses, is growing a lot of Cordis on Fortuniana stock for those deep southern growers who really need that Fortuniana. They're doing a great job on those.
Oh, yeah. Jim Mills is, he's the man, I'll tell you.
I love him. He's fun to talk with. He's just a great guy.
Yeah, he really is. Well, guys, thank you all so much for taking just a few minutes out of what I know is a very busy travel schedule and trial schedule to talk with us here at the Rose Chat podcast.
It was our pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for having us in your show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.